Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, July 18, 2023. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, the day of the Lord. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Joel chapter 2, corrected translation beginning at verse 1. Give a blast on the shofar. The shofar is the ram's horn. Sound the alarm in Zion, and be caused to sound the alarm for war on my holy mountain. All the ones who are living in the land, that is, the people living in Israel during the great tribulation, will tremble with fear because the day of the Lord has arrived, because it is near. That is, imminent judgment and destruction is at hand. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like the dawn spreading out over the mountains, so a great and mighty army is being spread out over the land. There has absolutely not been anything like it from of old, nor ever will be again after it, even to the years of the future ages. Verse 3. A fire devours before them, and behind them a flaming fire blazes. Before them the land is like the Garden of Eden, but behind them a desert of devastation and waste. In fact, nothing at all escapes them. Their appearance is like the appearance of horses, and like war horses, so they run. Like the sound of war chariots, they leap over the tops of the mountains, like the noise of a fiercely blazing fire consuming the stubble, like a mighty army drawn up for war. Verse 6, at the sight of them, the nations will keep on writhing in pain and anguish. Every face intensively turns pale because of the fear, the worry, the anxiety. Verse 7, they keep on advancing to the attack like mighty men, Army Airborne Rangers, Special Forces. They keep on climbing the wall, overrunning fortifications like men of war. And they all keep on advancing in line. In fact, they absolutely do not deviate from their course. Verse 8, and they do not afflict each other. No casualties from friendly fire. Each mighty one, each Special Forces soldier, keeps on advancing relentlessly in his own highway, that is, his own tactical situation and objective. In fact, when they burst through the defenses, they absolutely cannot be stopped. Verse 9. They keep on rushing upon the city, Jerusalem. They keep on overrunning the city's fortifications. They keep on climbing into the houses. They keep on entering through the windows like criminals. Before them, the earth quakes, the heavens quake, the sun and the moon grow dark, and the stars withdraw their brightness. They no longer shine. Verse 11. And the Lord thundered his commands at the head of his army because his military organization, his forces, are very great, beyond number, because mighty is the omnipotent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who manufactures victory out of his word, by the word of his mouth. Because the day of the Lord is great and very dreadful. In fact, who can endure it? Few or no one. The day of the Lord is a very important part of the plan of God for mankind. The day of the Lord includes the tribulation period. It includes the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. It includes the millennial reign of Christ for 1,000 years. Now, in our passage, Joel 2, he is emphasizing the last half of the tribulation, the great tribulation, and the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. It is going to take place. This is a part of human history. This is a part of the plan of God. We are living in the church age, but as we have studied in our other classes, everything is set. The ruler of this world, Satan, has everything ready. The only thing that has to take place is the rapture, which concludes the church age. And everything is in place for the Antichrist to come on the scene and the tribulation to take place. The day of the Lord is a great day of judgment. Judgment that comes from the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God. The day of the Lord is when the Lord Jesus Christ makes righteous war on the nations of the earth when he comes back to this earth at the second advent. He came the first time to solve mankind's problem of sin, Operation Grace, the cross. The first time he came riding with humility on the foal of a donkey. The next time he comes, he will come in military glory, the greatest soldier of all time. And he will come to bring great judgment on planet Earth. The day of the Lord, then, is when the Lord Jesus Christ makes righteous war on the nations of the earth when he comes back to this earth at the second advent. It is the appointed day when the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords will return to the earth to defeat in battle all the kings all the rulers, all the armies of all the nations who stand in opposition to him. The day of the Lord will establish a new world record for the emotional sins of fear and dread. And that was our verse, the last half of verse 11. Because the day of the Lord is great and very dreadful. In fact, who can endure it? Few or no one. The nations of the world in rebellion against the Lord will be filled with dread and fear because of the severity and the magnitude of the judgment that is coming on the earth. Not one unbeliever on planet Earth, not one person anywhere in the world who opposes the Lord Jesus Christ will survive. Only the born-again believers who survive the Great Tribulation will endure it. There will be very few of those left, however, but there will be a few. Most of the born-again believers, those who believe in Christ during the tribulation, most of them will be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ and for their refusal to worship the beast, the Antichrist. And there will be some who will die under divine discipline because of reversionism. Now in Joel 2, verses 12 to 14, now we switch to a call to turn back to God and to turn back to the Word of God. Now Joel is a contemporary of Isaiah. And both Joel and Isaiah are communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God to believers in the southern kingdom, Judah. And at this time, in both the lives of Joel and Isaiah, Judah, the southern kingdom, is a nation in apostasy, degeneracy. They're in the middle of the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster, that's the locust invasion, and they're on the verge of the fifth cycle of discipline. And Isaiah and Joel, being contemporaries, in fact, Isaiah quotes Joel in several places in the book of Isaiah. They're dealing with the same problem. They're dealing with the problem that we are facing in the United States of America right now. We are a nation in apostasy and degeneracy. We are a nation going through the five cycles of national discipline. And unless we turn back to God and His Word, there will be no client nation to God, United States of America. We are on the edge of the volcano. That's where we're living. Now we're still here, so there's hope. But the problem is that most believers do not want the grace and the truth of the Word of God. They don't mind a little bit of hypocritical religion, hypocrisy, but they don't want grace and truth of God's Word. And as a result, well, we're no different than Judah was in Joel's day, Judah was in Isaiah's day. As Joel writes this passage in Joel 2, verses 12 to 14, Judah is on the verge of national destruction. And Isaiah is describing the very same thing that Joel is. Isaiah describes the situation in the southern kingdom, that he's like a patient in a hospital whose chart reads that his head is sick, his heart is faint, his body is full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. From head to toe, there was no soundness in her. This is how Isaiah described it. We ended with this last week. We're going to start with this week. So turn over to Isaiah again. Isaiah 1. We'll start with how Isaiah describes the same situation that Joel is describing in verses 12 to 14. Isaiah looks at Judah, the southern kingdom, and he sees them going through the five cycles of national discipline. He sees the holiness of God bringing national discipline on the southern kingdom. Isaiah 1:1-6, the vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. O sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, they have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. That is a special title for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have turned their backs on Him. Why should you be beaten anymore? Divine discipline? Well, why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and welts, and only open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. So from head to toe, there was no soundness in her, the southern kingdom, Judah. Not even by offering the prayer, proper sacrifice, would God remove Judah's sin and provide spiritual healing. Isaiah 1:11-15. Oh, they were doing the same thing like Christians are doing here. They're going to church once in a while. When it's convenient, they'll show up. When it doesn't interfere with the 5 million things they have going on. And it's just hypocrisy, just religious hypocrisy. Doesn't mean a damn thing. They don't love God. They don't love the Word of God. And this characterizes most Christians in America today. Oh, they might go to church once in a while. Fundamentalism, we got fundamentalism all over. Legalism, self-righteousness, hypocrisy, no love for God, no love for the Word of God. And that's exactly what was going on in the southern kingdom in the time of Joel and Isaiah. Isaiah 1 verse 11. The multitude of your sacrifices, you're going to church. What are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened animals, and I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, you're assembling for worship. Who has asked this of you? This trampling of my courts. Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and convocations, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. Your new moons and festivals, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. So their worship was nothing but hypocrisy. It was a pretense. It was a sham. It was a stench to the righteousness and justice of God. But there was hope. Hope for rebound for believers. Rebound and to change your thinking about God and His Word. Turn back to God and His Word. And for unbelievers, faith in Jesus Christ. And that's Isaiah 1, 16 to 20. Verse 16, wash and make yourselves clean. That's rebound. That's rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Change your thinking. Stop living in the cosmic system. Stop living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And start living the spiritual life. Now, the spirituality in the Old Testament was the faith rest life. Start learning and believing the Word of God, believing God's promises and doctrines, and living the maximum faith rest life, spirituality, like Abraham, and advance all the way to maturity. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphans. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. There is salvation. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, the fifth cycle of national discipline. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So that's how Isaiah describes what Joel is going to describe in Joel 2, verses 12 to 14. Now, Joel gave the same plea to Judah years earlier that Isaiah gave. And that's our paragraph, verses 12 to 14. By way of introduction, one, before such an invincible army as the one described in Joel 2, 1 through 11, and remember, prophetic passages have a near fulfillment, far fulfillment. The near fulfillment would be the administration of the fifth cycle of discipline in Joel's day. The far fulfillment is looking at the day of the Lord in the great tribulation and second advent. Joel 2, 1 through 11, Judah's only hope was to turn immediately back to God and His Word. Two, the time for a change of mental attitude is right now. Right now. For the United States of America, the time for a change of mental attitude is right now. Three, for the unbeliever, this change of thinking is from rejection of Jesus Christ to faith in Jesus Christ. For the unbeliever, this change of thinking is from rejection of Jesus Christ to faith in Jesus Christ. Four. For the carnal, reversionistic believer living in Satan's cosmic system, this change of thinking is in the form of rebound. It starts with rebound. They had rebound in the Old Testament, as we have rebound as a problem-solving device for us in the church age. This change of thinking is in the form of rebound, followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Rebound followed by consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Five. This change of thinking, or repentance, and that's a great word. That is a biblical word. And there are some believers that have trouble with the word repent or repentance. This is absolute truth of the Word of God. And we're going to see the doctrine of repentance. This change of thinking or repentance is the desired outcome of the Lord's judgments, the five cycles of national discipline. He brings five cycles of national discipline to get the nations and the people to wake up. Wake up. The time for a change of mental attitude is now. So this change of thinking or repentance is the desired outcome of the Lord's judgment, the five cycles of national discipline. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. The Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and only a few of you will survive among the nations to which the Lord will drive you. There you will worship man-made gods of wood and stone, which cannot see or hear or eat or smell. But if from there you seek the Lord, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you look for him with all your heart and with all your soul. When you are in distress and all these things have happened to you, then in later days you will return to the Lord your God and obey him. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not abandon or destroy you or forget the covenant with your forefathers which he confirmed to them by oath. Turn over to Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse 1. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come upon you, and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God, and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heaven, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Verse 6. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and live. The Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies who hate and persecute you. You will again obey the Lord and follow all his commands I am giving you today. Turn over to Hosea chapter 3. Hosea chapter 3. Hosea 3, starting at verse 4. Hosea 3, verse 4. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stone, without ephod or idol. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. And then turn over to Amos. Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, let's start first of all at verse 6. I gave you empty stomachs in every city. This is the fourth cycle of national discipline, economic disaster. We're already seeing the beginning of that in the United States of America as we speak. I gave you empty stomachs in every city and lack of bread in every town. Yet you have not returned to me. The purpose of national discipline, divine discipline, is to get the people to wake up. Wake up. The time for repentance is now. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. Again, the fourth cycle of national discipline. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. One field had rain, another had none, and dried up. People staggered from town to town looking for water, but did not get enough to drink. Divine discipline, the five cycles of national discipline. This was designed by God to get them to wake up. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Verse 9. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards. I struck them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. This is in Joel's day. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Verse 10, I sent plagues among you. And we have plagues here in the United States of America. I sent plagues among you as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with the sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you, as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. We are a modern day Sodom and Gomorrah in the United States of America. That's how degenerate we are right now. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. You were like a burning stick snatched from the fire. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Now look over at chapter 5, verse 4. This is what the Lord says to the house of Israel. Seek me and live. Look at chapter 5, verse 14. Seek that which is intrinsically good. And what is intrinsically good? The Hebrew word is tov. And in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it says the Lord is tov, intrinsically good. Seek the Lord who is intrinsically good, not evil, that you may live. And then the Lord God, and whenever it says Lord God Almighty, that's the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth. It's a military term. It's, unfortunately, is translated in many of your Bibles, the Lord God Almighty. It's Jehovah Tsevaoth. That is Jesus Christ, the Lord of the armies. Then the Lord of the armies, the Lord God, the Lord of the armies, will be with you, just as you say he is. Hate evil and love tov, that which is intrinsically good, Jesus Christ. Maintain justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord God Almighty, the Lord of the armies, will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph. So the change of thinking or the repentance, that's the desired outcome of the Lord's judgments, of why he brings the five cycles of national discipline. And he's bringing that to the United States of America. So, Joel 2, verse 12. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, that's the King James. This is the conjunction vav, prefix to the adverb gam, joined by a makef to the adverb of time atah, plus the cal passive participle of na'am, joined by a makef to the tetragrammaton. We start out with the conjunction vav. Looks like that. It's V-A-V, vav. It's an adversative vav, and it should be correctly translated, but. And then that's followed by the adverb gam. G-A-M, gam. And gam is the word that means even. But even, and that is followed by the adverb of time, atah. I-N-A-T-T-A-H, atah. And atah means now. So literally, this says, but even now. Now the adversative vav sets up a contrast. It sets up a contrast, first of all, between destruction through the five cycles of national discipline with deliverance. So it sets up a contrast between, you have a choice. You can be destroyed by the fifth cycle of national discipline or be delivered by the grace and power of God. And secondly, it sets up a contrast between divine discipline and the sin unto death with spiritual recovery. Contrast between divine discipline and the sin unto death with spiritual recovery. For the believer, that spiritual recovery is rebound followed by metabolization, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. For the unbeliever, it is faith in Jesus Christ. Now, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, The Hebrew Lexicon on page 774 states that this phrase, "but even now," is used to draw a conclusion. In other words, it reflects back to everything prophesied up to this point. And now it comes to a conclusion. One, Joel was teaching, you see the imminent danger all around you. You can see the imminent danger all around you. And hopefully you can see it too. Most of the people in America, unfortunately, do not. You can look around you and see the imminent danger. Now, wake up and turn back to God and His Word. I mean, I love America. I love my nation. I love what that flag stands for. I love for the what the freedom that that flag stands for. And it breaks my heart to see this nation turn away from God and turn away from the Word of God. It breaks my heart. Now let me ask you, does it break your heart? Or do you don't even give a damn? How many of you think everything is just hunky-dory? Pastor Olson is getting a little bit hard here. Well, I hope I don't get soft. Keep teaching exactly what the Word of God says. You can look around you what's going on in America. Total degeneracy. Sodom and Gomorrah. Now it's LGBTQSYZ A to Z. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's being taught in schools. Changing children. From boys to girls and girls to boys. Transgenderism. I never thought I'd see this in America. It's the norm. What do you think? You think that's the norm? You think that is great? You're crazy. God is holy. And He's bringing the five cycles of national discipline on America. Look at the crime. Crime. My brother called me every Monday and he says, the police have been told in Seattle, if people go into stores and steal things in the store, you are just to let him go. Let him go. Don't do anything to try to get them. And don't pull your weapons. Crime is everywhere. And we got now drugs. Homeless people, tent cities, And they are, and cities are giving the people in these tent cities illegal drugs, giving them to them. It just defies any objectivity. So, one, Joel was teaching, you can look around you and see what's going on. You can see the imminent danger. Now, wake up. Wake up and turn back to God and His Word. Two, it is a time for a change of mental attitude. It is a time for a change of mental attitude. Three, it is a time for biblical repentance. It's a time for biblical repentance. Four, and the time to do it is now. Now. Not tomorrow. Now. There's a saying that I have said and heard others say, he who hesitates is lost. That certainly will be the case in America. Five. But as awful as the situation is, even now there is hope. As awful as the situation is, even now there is hope. Six, the purpose of the Lord's judgments. The purpose of the five cycles of national discipline, the purpose of divine discipline in the individual's life, is for you to turn back to God and His Word. That's the purpose. The purpose of the Lord's judgment, the purpose of the five cycles of national discipline, the purpose of individual divine discipline, is for you to turn back to God and to His Word. Eight, whenever you live during a time of great crisis and disaster, it should wake you up to your need for spiritual recovery if you're a believer, and your need for salvation if you're an unbeliever. Whenever you live during a time of great crisis and disaster, it should wake you up. Wake you up to your need of spiritual recovery if you are a believer, and your need for salvation if you are an unbeliever. Eight. Did I give you? Am I giving you the wrong numbers?
We're ready for nine. Sir.
What's that?
We're ready for nine.
No. Yes, I think I got off count. Number five is, but as awful as the situation is, even now there's hope. Six should be the purpose of the Lord's judgments for you to turn back to God. Seven, whenever you live during a time of great crisis and disaster, it should wake you up to your need for salvation and spiritual recovery. Eight. How's that? I was an English major, okay? But I should be able to get numbers right, you know. Eight. I know you're saying, poor Pastor Olson, he's an old fart up there. Remember that the greatest disasters of life, there is no crisis, there is no disaster too great for the grace and the power of God. There is no crisis and disaster that is too great for the grace and the power of God. So remember that the greatest disasters of life are resolved by the grace and by the power of God. But even now, and then we have, saith the Lord. This is the cow passive participle of Na'am plus the tetragrammaton. Na'am. Looks like this. N-A-Aleph-A-M. Na'am. Now, Na'am is a substantival participle. It functions as a noun. And it always, this verb, always function as a construct. A construct. Now, na'am means utterance, declaration, revelation. You see, it functions as a noun. It means utterance, declaration, revelation. Declaration is the best way to translate this substantival participle. And it's always in the construct. In other words, this is a declaration of the Lord. That's the construct form. Declaration of the Lord. The Lord is the tetragrammaton. That is the holiest title of God in the Old Testament scriptures. It was so sacred to the Jewish people that they refused to pronounce it as Yahweh. They always read a different word, Adonai, when the tetragrammaton was used. This is the declaration of the Lord. But even now, the declaration of the Lord. Now you probably have it translated, declares the Lord. But that's using it as a verb, not as a noun. Correctly, but even now, the declaration of the Lord, turn even to me with all your heart. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Turn even to me, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all your heart. The cal imperative of the verb shuv, plus the preposition of, with the first person singular suffix, plus the prepositional phrase baith, prefix to the noun kol, joined by a makef to the noun levav, with the second person plural suffix. Shuv. This is one of the words in Hebrew for the doctrine of repentance. S-H long U-B. Shuv. So a couple of things. One, shuv means literally to turn back. You're going a certain way, but you're going the wrong way. There's a lot of people in America that are going the wrong way. And I'm talking about Christians. Christians going the wrong way. And you need to turn back. Two, in our verse, shuv is the Hebrew verb for the doctrine of repentance. And it means to turn back to God. Turn back to God. Three, Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the Hebrew Lexicon, page 997. It's a big If you ever want to know, want to take a look, come into my office. I'll show you BDB. The print is very, very small, over 1,000 pages, and there are no pictures. Shuv and BDB, page 997, says it means to repent, to change your thinking, and to turn back to God. To change your thinking and turn back to God. Four, this is changing your thinking from negative volition to positive volition. You have the volition in your soul. It's got a negative pull and a positive pull. You decide. You have a, well, I think they have it for the kids, a decider in your soul. You have a decider in your soul. This is changing your thinking from negative volition to positive volition. It's changing from arrogance to humility. Five, the imperative mood is a command. It's a mandate. A mandate to every believer living his life in Satan's cosmic system. It is a mandate because the time is short. The situation is urgent. The preposition of, I-N-A-D, of. Of means even to, and with the first person singular suffix, even to me. And who is me? It's the Lord, Jesus Christ. Even to me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the preposition beth, b-shavah, that's in or with. It could be in or with. Here it means with. With, and then we have kol, K-O-L, and kol means all, or the whole of. Here it means all. And then levav. L-E-B-A-B. Levav is the word for heart. Sometimes you have a shortened form lev used for heart. Sometimes you have levav. We have levav with the second person plural suffix, your heart. But even now, a declaration of the Lord, turn back to me with all your heart. This comes from Jesus Christ. This isn't coming from Pastor Olson. I can't make anybody do anything. I wouldn't even try. But I can teach you the Word of God. And you have a free will. You can have positive volition and humility and learn it and believe it. Or you can sit there and say, I don't believe a damn thing you're saying, Pastor Olson. That's, you have a free will. You have a volition. You can be positive or negative. You can be arrogant or have humility. I'm not here. I'm not giving this command. This comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created the universe, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created you, the one who went to the cross and paid the penalty for all of your sins. Does he not mean anything to you? He was willing to go to a cross and receive your sins and the judgment for your sins, and you don't give a damn about him? This comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't come from me. But even now, a declaration of the Lord, turn back to me with all your heart. You see what Joel is teaching in Joel 2:12-14? Same thing that Isaiah taught in Isaiah chapter 1. The doctrine of repentance. And we're going to take a look at that in more detail next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.